You have a special insert in your bulletin that contains both the sermon notes as well as Bible text from the Gospel of Mark. We shall follow them both closely for economy of time. So welcome back to the teachings of Jesus during that special Tuesday of Holy Week. Today, we treat lessons 15 to 17 in your booklet entitled The Holy Week Journey. This moves us to the 10th, 11th, and 12th lessons of 17 that Jesus taught on that first Tuesday. In all three texts from Mark, we shall be dealing with Christ's predictions covering the whole New Testament period from his first coming to his second coming. Therefore, this takes us to the subject of eschatology, the study of last things, the great eschatological portions of the three synoptic gospels are Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, and Luke 21. In these various chapters, Jesus makes predictions that would be fulfilled both in the near as well as in the distant or remote future. Matthew and Luke extensively cover the near, the ongoing, and the final events of world history. Mark does the same, yet he primarily emphasizes those predictions which reach their fulfillment in AD 70, some 40 years after Jesus spoke these prophetic words. So in the name of our Savior, let's get going on the interpretation of today's text. We continue on page 2. Last Sunday's sermon, with Jesus predicting, and what did he predict? That not one stone of the Jerusalem temple would be left on top of one another when that building would be destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. Our first text today of three picks up right where we left off Sunday. We read from Mark 13, verses 3 through 8. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew, the brother of Peter, were questioning him privately. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? Two questions. Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must first take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Let's first deal with that term, the end. You will note that it has the article right before it, the end. That means it's referring to Judgment Day. In our next reading, the article will be missing, and that will not be referring to the final end, even though we translate it the end, it is not in the Greek. We'll talk about it at that time. Next, we note, in line with Jesus' prediction, that many would claim to be the Mashiach, the Messiah. Well, since the 17th century, that's the 1600s, more than 40 notable people have claimed to be the Christ, the Messiah, and have misled many. Maybe you remember, if you're old like me, the Korean pastor Sung Myung Moon and his Moonies of the Unification Church, how they used to have mass marriages and everything, and spreading many false doctrines that Dr. Moon was the Mashiach. Finally, in reference to Jesus' noting of earthquakes, in 2023 alone, just last year, there were 15,600 earthquakes of 4.0 or higher in magnitude. Those have been going on throughout the whole New Testament period. We just now know it because of news reports and more scientific reporting. But they have been going on ever since Jesus' day. They have increased only in this way. You learn about them faster than what people knew they were occurring in olden times because of the lack of media. And you know, and I know, of famines all over our world right now. Africa, here, there, South America, that type of thing. I ask the question, was Jesus right? He was. May his followers trust his words and predictions as they come true right up to this very day. We go to page 3 to our second text today from Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. We read, our Jesus says, be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. By the way, there's a little secret there. Judgment Day cannot come until the gospel goes out to all the nations. Well, hasn't it gone out to all the nations by now with all the media that we have? And you know what I always tell you? I can predict to you when Judgment Day will be. Oh, that's got to be false doctrine. No, listen to my reasoning on that. My reasoning is this: God cannot come until the last believer is won for his kingdom. But when that last believer is won, there is no more reason for the world to go on. So Judgment Day will be at that time. Let us go on with our text, verse 11. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you will say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour. Of course, that's going to come from the Holy Spirit as Jesus continues, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. You know, Christians are often afraid to give witness. Oh, I don't know what to say. Why don't you trust God to tell you what to say? And you know, you always have a backup plan. Oh, I'll go ask my pastor and I'll come back and tell you the answer. Or I'll go study the scriptures and I'll be back to you. Don't be afraid. Jesus said he will be with you via his Holy Spirit. He says then, and this is the key verse in a sense, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. I'll comment on that in a moment. You will be hated by all because of my name. Whoa, hated by all? You'll even be hated by fellow Christians, especially if you're married to them and they are studying the Bible and you want to eat. Oh, you can hate them for not attending to your needs right at that time. The all is very inclusive. All right? And it says, but the one who endures to end, he will be saved. Well, all these details span the entire New Testament period. The early fulfillment of these details in the days of the apostles are just a type, a symbol, a picture of the ongoing persecutions that will continue right down to the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ on the last day. They span time. Let's first deal with that. Oh, the end. You notice I have the word "the" crossed out? It is not there in the Greek. It means this: to the end of your life, if you die before Judgment Day. You have to be faithful to the end of your life. Okay? Doesn't Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 say? What does it say? You know it. What is Revelation 2:10? Be faithful till the day you die, and I will give you a crown of life. Oh, I guess our Lutherans have a little work to do with the Bible. Okay. Let's go on. I'll read to you. Persecution is worsening. More than 365 million, that's easy to remember, 365 days in a year, 365 million, that's one in seven Christians, face high levels of persecution for their faith. And persecution is becoming dangerously violent in countries on the World Watch List. Attacks on churches and Christian properties skyrocketed in 2023 as more Christians than ever recorded faced violent attacks. You can Google it with the reference given there. Well, here is the fact. It is vital to endure to the end. God will help us trust in Him. I got to put a little postscript in here on that part about betrayal up there. A father will betray a son. A son will betray a father. Oh, you say, that's not going to happen. It is going to happen. Do you remember the phrase, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer? This is a reverse of that. Keep your enemies close, but keep your friends even closer. Know what is happening. And the next part you're not going to like to hear me say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It is this here, right here, where it says, keep those you love and trust even closer. Watch out for traitors, even those who exist in your forever church family. There will always be those who will turn on you in order to save their own hides. That can even happen in your own congregation. Persecution? Wow. I'll turn the other guy in order to save myself. I want to tell you a little story. I call it an empty box of love. You know, there was this little girl, about 5 years old, and her father caught her with wrapping paper, cutting it all up, tearing it. Oh, he was angry, ripped it back from her, gave her a tongue lashing. Well, it wasn't too much longer, and here he comes home from work, and there she is, with more wrapping paper torn up, more scotch tape used, and wrapped around a box. She says, "Daddy, I got a present for you." So he's happy, somewhat. He opens the box, takes the lid off, and it is totally empty. Now he is angry again. He says, "What kind of a present is this? An empty box." She said, "Daddy, it's not empty. I blew my kisses in there for you." He was in tears, apologized, and always kept that box on his pillow till the day he died. Keep your friends close, show your love, and hug them back. We go to page 4, our final text for today. Oh, this is where it gets tough. You got to know the book of Daniel to understand this. Jesus says, "But when you see the abomination of desolation," that would be the Roman army, "standing where it should not be," let the reader understand, "then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one who is on the housetop must not go down or go in to get anything out of his house." In other words, run for your life. "And the one who is in the field must not turn back to get his coat. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that it may not happen to you in winter, for those days will be a time of tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of creation, which God created until now, and never will. Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then, if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is Christ,' or 'Behold, he is there,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance." Jesus knew the future when he chose. Notice what it says here. Jesus announced a new desolation, the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple, which was carried out by the Romans in AD 70. That event ended all temple worship and sacrifice. You would think the Jews would catch on to that, right? The Old Testament says offer sacrifice, and they haven't offered another one since AD 70. They have no temple. They have substituted prayer for sacrifice. That's called false doctrine, making up what you want to add to Scripture and what you want to subtract. But those desolations, when they come, that destruction is but a taste of what lies in the future. Because right up to Judgment Day, there are going to be more wars, rumors of wars, persecutions, whatever. You know, I have to talk to you about AD 70. You might think this text is talking about the last day, but it can't be. It says if you're out in the field, don't go back to get your coat. Well, you're not going to have any time to go get anything on Judgment Day, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that when Jesus returns, the world will fade away in a violent heat, and you'll be raptured up. into the sky to meet Jesus, as fast as you can blink an eye, you will be changed. So this can't be that part about, oh, pray that you're not pregnant if you're a woman, or nursing a baby when you have to run. Let me tell you what happened. You see, in 67 AD, the Romans came from up north, where they were destroying city after city of the Jews. But the Christians, the elect, remembered the words of Jesus, don't try to save your IRA, your bank account. Don't try to go get stuff in order to carry it. Run for your life. And they did. They went to a city called Pella, that was never attacked by the Romans. But the other Jews who did not believe in Jesus did not heed his words. They ran to the city of Jerusalem, locked themselves in. Many died of starvation. Many ate their babies to stay alive a little bit longer. And then the Romans broke through and they killed 1,100,000 Jews who did not listen to Jesus, who had not run for their life. And those who were left, the Romans took as slaves and helped knock down the stones from the wall. And as Pastor Green told you so interestingly, last Sunday, the Romans then gathered all the gold and the silver that had melted in the fire from between the stones, then had the slaves push the next stone off, and the Romans collected loot from the battle. All right? Well, the question is, are you listening today? Are you prepared for the last day, or are you putting your faith in, oh, he'll let me know, I'll have a chance to repent at the last minute like the thief on the cross. Up until that time, I'm going to do my thing. Not a wise decision. I have there something for you to fill the blank, because these are scary predictions. We live in tumultuous, scary times. And people say, what am I going to do? I hope I can hold on to my faith and I don't reject Jesus at the last minute. Let me read this last part here. Remember, in the midst of these scary predictions, we can find comfort in the hymn words. What are you going to write in there? Because he lives, comma, I can face tomorrow. Because he is resurrected from the dead and my sins are forgiven, I can face tomorrow. One last time. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.